trust it'll be a blessing as we look into the Word together today. I want to call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. If you turn in your Bibles there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to speak to you basically on the 16th verse, but we want to read the context here. And it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray. Our Father, as we look into your word, we pray that the Spirit of God shall give us understanding, and that you will challenge us as we consider this great truth that you've given through this apostle to this young Timothy, to take heed unto ourselves and unto the doctrine. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pardon me. get all laid out here where I can get the stuff before you. Most of you missed out on sainthood this week. The Pope made a couple more saints. But I thought that we had been saints since we came to Christ. And you know, as we consider this verse today, several years ago there was a group of people that got together and they put out a document called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And they smoothed over the differences that there are in the churches. The Southern Baptist Convention just recently had a commission given, and they got together on the doctrine of Calvinism and its effect in the Southern Baptist churches today. They basically decided in that document that election can be conditional or unconditional, that depravity can be complete or partial, that the atonement can be fully atonement or partial atonement, that you can resist effectually the grace of God or not, and that you can either persevere or not, and it really doesn't make much difference what you believe. And it's time for us today in this situation we're in to examine ourselves and to see how we stand in our doctrine. If you look at the truth, trust, testimony, and time of tension, it's discouraging as we think about what's happening in our convention today. And I want to focus your attention today on this 16th verse, where Paul tells this young Timothy to take heed to himself and to the doctrine. Now, most of the commentators limit this to the pastors, but I think it applies to each of us today, that we need, in this world in which there is so much confusion about what the gospel consists of, we need, as God's people in New Hope, to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine that we believe. This word, take heed, means to apply your mind with strict and close attention. He says, take heed to yourself. Get in your mind what you believe. Don't be like that fellow that was asked, what do you believe? And he said, well, I believe what the church believes. And he said, well, what does the church believe? He says, they believe what I believe. And then they asked, well, what do you and the church believe? We believe the same thing. And many people today are in that condition. They don't know what the church believes, and they don't know what they believe. They just know they believe the same thing. And it doesn't make much difference what you believe. But Paul's telling young Timothy here to take heed to himself and to the doctrine. I want to point out three areas that we need to take heed to ourselves in. First, you need to take heed to yourself that you are in Christ. This is the very first thing, that you are in Christ, that you have been born again, that you have experienced a new birth, that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul tells the Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And if we're going to be attentive to this, to take heed to ourselves, that we must be attentive to applying our minds and our hearts strictly, giving attention to what we believe in this area of the new birth. You know, there's a book out, several books out, on how to be born again or born again. Dr. Billy Graham has one out, How to Be Born Again. I've read it. But he doesn't really tell you how, because the Bible doesn't say how to be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. It's a passive experience that we have if we are to be a new creature in Christ. And we need to be sure in your own life today that you have experienced that work of grace. See if it's happened to you. It's possible to be deceived about this, because in that last day, Jesus said that many will come to Him. They are religious people, and they've done many things. And we might say that among some of us today. We've done many things. We've been a member of the church. We've taught a Sunday school class. We have been active in the boys' work and the girls' work and the men's work and the women's work. We've done all these things. We've done everything that the preacher has told us to do, and we're still lost. There are a lot of people that way. And we need to examine ourselves today, first of all, that we are in Christ. It's possible to be deceived, but in our catechism, in the question on what is effectual calling, it says it's the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery and enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, He does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. That's what the new birth is about. It's convincing us of our sin and misery. Have you come to that place in your life where you have found your misery in the things around you, and you've been content with your own way of life? Is that where you are today? Convincing you of your sin and misery. Enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ. There's no salvation outside of Christ. Have you been enlightened in that way? Enlightened your mind in the knowledge of Christ. Has your will been renewed? You see, you have been in rebellion against God. And there's no way that you can have your will changed by yourself. You can't will a new birth. A new birth must come by the working of God's Spirit. And renewing our wills, He persuades us and He enables us to embrace Jesus Christ as He is freely offered in the gospel. It's possible to be mistaken about that. And those at that last day that have done everything that they thought they should do will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Don't be in that situation. It's possible to have assurance of your salvation. It's possible for you to be assured that you're in Christ. John chapter 14, I think verse 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Does that describe you today? You have his commandments and keep them. That's a sign that you have experienced a new birth, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He does not know them, and he can't follow them because they're spiritually discerned and he's spiritually dead. And today I would invite you to examine yourself whether you be in the faith, whether Christ is your Savior. Do you know what Christ has done for you? He has done something that you can't do yourself. He has lived a perfectly righteous life, and God puts that on our account when we believe. He took our sins and placed them on Christ's account. And Christ in His body bore our sins on the tree. Has that been your experience? That you understand that the only way that you can stand righteous before God is not with what you do, but with what Christ has done in your behalf. What Christ has done for you. That objective work of justifying you, declaring you to be not guilty when you're guilty of sin. But He has made it possible in His work to declare you just and still be the justifier of them that believe in Him. What has Christ done for you? What has Christ done in you? Examine yourself to see if Christ has done something in you. In 1 John, there are a number of verses that speak to this issue. He says in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, "This is a record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So it's possible for you to know. Examine yourself that you have been savingly joined to Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, I think it is. Let me just check a minute and see. It's actually chapter 2. And he says in verse 3, "Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." How about you? Are you keeping His commandments? That's a sign that you have been changed. "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in Him." So examine yourself along this line. Are you able more and more to keep His commandments? Not in order to be right with God, but because you have been declared righteous on His merits. And then over in chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Does that describe you? Do you love the brethren? When you have a choice between watching the Super Bowl and hearing a preacher, what is it going to be? I'll tell you what. This is the one thing about the new birth that encourages me more than anything else. I would love to be with the people of God more than anything else in the world. When I was younger, I was the first one at church to open the door, and I was the last one to close it out. I love to be with the people of God. And that's a sign that you have experienced a new birth. Christ has done something in you. He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so these particular verses help you in the examination. There was a little girl in a school down in South Florida. The pastor had told the school, there was a Christian school, and it was, they were telling about how you come to Christ. And he said that in the course of his dissertation, that you cannot come to Christ until He calls you to Himself. And this one little girl said, "Well, Dr. McIntyre, how can we know that He's called us to Himself?" And his answer was, "When you are enabled more and more to keep the commandments of God." That's an indication that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's a sign that you have experienced a new birth. So take heed to yourself today that you first of all be in Christ. There was a fellow by the name of William Guthrie that wrote a little book called The Christian's Great Interest. And if I can find it, I want to share something with you that he wrote. He said that we know that in John 1:12, he says that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He says we know that He said that if you believe, you receive Christ, you'll become the Son of God. But he says the question is, have I received Christ? That's the thing that bugs us. Have we really received Christ? And here's what he says. I have received Christ in all the ways which the Word can import. For I am pleased with the device of salvation by Christ. Is that you today? Are you pleased with the device of salvation by Christ alone? Are you looking around these other religions to say, well, maybe I want to be sure that I get there and I'll have a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one? Are you pleased with the device of salvation by Christ? Do you agree to the terms that He's listed? Repentance and faith. And he says, do I welcome the offer of Christ in all His offices as a king to rule over me, as a priest to offer up sacrifice and intercede for me, as a prophet to teach me? I lay out my heart for Him and towards Him, resting on Him as I am able. What else can be meant by the word receiving? Therefore, may I say and conclude plainly and warrantably, I am justly to reckon myself a child of God. If I have received Him, if I have given myself over to Him and His way of salvation, and He is my prophet, my priest, and my king. Is that your experience today? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine that you be in Christ. But then take heed to yourself that you be in covenant with the church. A church is an organized body of baptized believers in covenant relationship for gospel purposes. Are you in covenant? Are you trying to be a lone ranger? Oh, you say, well, I've been saved, but I just don't want to be in any church. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to be added to the church when we were baptized. And he was talking there about a local assembly. You're added to the local assembly through baptism. And this covenant relationship is something that we take seriously here at New Hope. Out on the back table in the vestibule, I've left some little spiritual checklists for you if anybody is wanting to check up to see how your covenant relationship is going on. Our covenant says basically that having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon our profession of faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, enter into a covenant relationship with one another as one body in Christ. That's what we say. You see, we have a doctrinal statement that tells what we believe. And we have a covenant that says how we're going to work out what we believe. And that covenant is very important to us. It's important for you to be in a covenant relationship in a church where you give yourself to support this church in its worship, its discipline, its doctrine, and its ordinances. Have you come to that place in your life? Or try to be a lone ranger. I've talked to guys all over the years in my ministry. I say, I don't need the church. Well, the church needs you. And if you haven't entered into a covenant relationship, you need to seriously consider that, because he says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. One of these doctrines is the covenant relationship that we engage in and the practice that you have, that you are in covenant, that you're using the means of grace too. This is the next thing. You have been added to Christ. You're in a covenant in the church. And now a conversion is taking place in your life. A lot of people think conversion is an instantaneous thing. I think conversion is that process that takes place following your new birth, where you are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Take heed to yourself that you are in covenant. Take heed for yourself that you are being converted. Are you assimilating the Word in your life? That's one of the means of grace that God's given for us. Are you taking in the Word? Jeremiah said, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Is that your experience today? How are you assimilating the Word? Jesus prayed in His high priestly prayer, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. And if you're going to be converted, it's going to be in a matter that is given in the Word of God. Assimilating the Word in your life. The Word was given by the inspiration of God. And we need to assimilate that Word in our lives. In our small group, we went through the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. And one of those things was assimilating the Word. And we found that there were five different ways that we can assimilate the Word in our lives. We can hear it. And that's one way. We can read it. And that's a little bit more intense. We can study it. We can get a pencil and a piece of paper out and draw it out and see what it's saying to us. We can study it. We can memorize it. The psalmist said the one that's planted like be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, the one that meditates in the law of God day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you assimilating the Word in your life on those areas? And then you memorize it and you have it to meditate on. Sort of like the old cows we used to have to sit out there, go out and eat the grass. And they would come in after they'd eaten the grass, and they'd sit under the shade of the tree, and then they'd chew their cud. And that's what it is when we take the Word of God in. We need to have those times when we chew the cud, when we meditate, ruminate on what God's Word has to say and what it means to us. Pardon me. So we need to assimilate the Word of God in our lives. And then we need to give ourselves to prayer. To public and private prayer. As we give ourselves to praying, prayer is the breath of the Christian as he draws near to his Father. And we need to assimilate that particular practice in our lives. Job was one who found a real solace in prayer. He didn't know what was going on in his life, but he knew there was a God behind it all. And in the last chapter, he said, I just had to clap my hand over my face and acknowledge that God is God. Job said in chapter 26, somewhere around there, he says, Oh, that I knew where I might find him, for then I would order my cause before him and I would fill my mouth with arguments. And that's how we pray. We order our cause before God. We don't come willy-nilly into His presence, but we come having prepared ourselves to come into the presence of God. And then we order our cause before Him, and we fill our mouth with arguments. God, You're a great God, and it's well within Your power to do what I'm asking You. Just argue back with God in your prayer. God, You know everything. You know more than what I know. And You're able to well take care of the situation I'm in today. You're having trouble in your families, having trouble in your personal life. God knows that. And He is able to succor you from those problems that you're facing in your life. So secret prayer. And then the personal disciplines of life and the use of your time and your talents and your influence in the world around you. Take heed to yourself that you be in Christ, that you be in covenant, and that you be converted. And you know, the old Puritan Gurnall said it well. And this is something you might want to sit down and memorize sometime. He says, "Say not that thou hast royal blood in thy veins and art born of God, lest thou can show thy pedigree by daring to live holy." That's the life that we need to live in Christ, a holy life, a life that is dedicated to Him. But then he says also, take heed to your doctrine. And I'm going to give you three ways to do your doctrine. First of all, that you know it, that you have the content of your doctrine down. In our church here, we follow the London Confession of Faith, 1689 edition. I wonder how many of you have read that. I want to encourage you to read the doctrinal statement. You know, when you enter the church, you don't have to say, "I agree everything, I know everything the church teaches," because that's part of the coming to the church and learning what we believe. But take that confession of faith and read it. And don't just read the words, but look up the scripture verses. Because these guys weren't sitting out in a swamp on a stump when they wrote these things down. They were looking at the Bible. And they said, this is what the Bible teaches about the nature of God, about the nature of Christ, about the nature of the Holy Spirit, about the way of salvation, the operation of your will in the life. All of these things. Take heed to your doctrine. If you do that, you'll see that in its content, you'll find the whole counsel of God there. And then, not only should you know it, but I'm going to use a Navy term here, stow it. That is, put it there where it needs to be in your life. Don't just have it in your mind, but make it a real part of your life. And then, that you show it. Take heed to your doctrine, that you know it, that you stow it, and that you show it. You propagate it. In Matthew 28, He gives us His command. And He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." That's the thing. Knowing the gospel. Do you know a gospel message that you can give out to somebody? Have you come to that place where, you know, most of us don't witness, I think, because we don't have a clear gospel message that we can give when we witness to folks. And J.I. Packer said that there's four elements to the gospel message. And you need to get this down. And it gives you great liberty when you go out witnessing with people. He says that first of all, the gospel message is a message about God, who He is, and what He requires. He's a sovereign God. He's a Spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's the God that we're talking about. He says we must tell about who God is and what He requires. He's given us His Word, His commandments, and we've fallen short of them. And then Packer says that it's not only a message about God, but it's a message about man. How far he's fallen. What happened in the garden? Did Adam just stub his toe, or did he break his neck when he fell? Is he dead in trespasses and sin? Is that the condition of the men that you're talking with when you witness? Pardon me. And when we say that we understand who man is, most people today do not know who man is or how far he's fallen. When we say that we believe in total depravity, we do not mean that man is as bad as he can be. Because even Hitler could have been worse than what he was. But we're saying that he is as bad off as he can be. He's not going down. He's not drowning. He's at the bottom dead. And God has said that we must understand who man is if we're to properly tell the good news. If man doesn't think he's dead, he thinks all you got to do is just say a prayer or shake a preacher's hand or whatever, then that's something he can do. But if he must have a resurrection from the dead, that's what Christ must do. And then he says, it's a message about Christ, who he is and what he has done. Oh, he is the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God who became man and was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. This is the Jesus that we're talking about. What has he done for us? He's done everything that we need to reconcile us to God. Oh, we were separated by our sin. But Jesus has come and done something for us. And he has done something in us. And Jesus is the Savior of even the worst of sinners. And then Packer says that the message of the gospel is a call to repentance and faith. You say, well, if repentance and faith are gifts of God, they are. Why do you call every man to repent? Because he ought to. The fact that he can't is his own problem. He's fallen. But we call men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. And that's the message that we take out. So take heed to your doctrine that you know it, that you stow it, and that you show it. Propagate it in the way, in the realm of your influence. Now, as we think about these things today, there are a lot of people here that may be at different stages of development in their lives, in their Christian experience. Some people never examine themselves to see if they be in the faith. They think they're going to just go along. They've done all the preacher said to do. And they're going to make it into heaven. Let me encourage you. If you've never sat down and examined yourself as to being in the faith, or as being in covenant, or being converted, do that today. I've left out on the back page, back table out there, a little pamphlet. It's called "What Is a Biblical Christian?" A good little thing to examine yourself. Take one of those for your family and read through it. Because everybody that calls himself a Christian is not a Christian. Just because you say something doesn't make it so. And so some never examine themselves. I want to encourage you today to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith, if you be in covenant, if you be converted. And then do what you can do. As you reflect on what we're saying today, you can pick up one of those little sheets out there and read it over. And see how you're doing in your church relationship. You can pick up one of those little pamphlets and read it. And see what a biblical Christian is. And see if that fits you in your experience. And then, for those who may be here today, or may hear this, who have never savingly come to Christ, I would say, look to Jesus. Because He is the Savior of even the worst of sinners. He saved me. He can do it to anybody. He saved Paul. He was a murderer, a persecutor of the church. He can save you. There's nothing that you've done that He cannot take care of at the cross. And so, He came to save sinners. And as you see yourself as a sinner, come to Him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah to seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Isaiah 55:7, I think. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If you come to God, and he turns your way, you'll be the first one out of all the universe. Come to him today, and rest in Christ, because he's the Savior of sinners. Take heed to yourself, that you be in Christ, that you be in covenant, that you be converted, and take heed to your doctrine, that you know it, that you stow it, and that you show it. And do what you can in the community that you're in to make the gospel of grace known. Let's pray. Our Father, we come with grateful hearts for your word. It is instructive to us. We pray that you will take the words that have been said today and that the Spirit of God shall apply them to our hearts. Lord, we live in a world where everything is relative, where there are no absolutes, where we don't have a standard that we can go to, but you've given it to us in your word. Oh, dear Father, we plead with you that you will use this word today for your honor and glory. And now, may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.